Welcome to Reality Student Ministries, and thanks for listening. We are all about learning how to live this life to the fullest, getting the most out of every day. For information on upcoming events, sermon series, and ways to connect, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com, as well as like our Facebook page at RSM. Now here's today's message.
I apologize for being a little bit late here, but I'm going to go ahead and introduce myself. My name is Tom Grote. I am the Student Ministries Director for the state of Ohio. That may not mean anything, although I go some places and people say, hey, you're the camp guy. And yes, I am at camp. Or you're the fine arts guy. And yes, I'm there also. Or you're the Reach Conference guy. Yes, I'm there also. I'm everywhere. It's kind of weird. But part of it's because that is my job, to make those things happen. And so glad to be here with you this evening. Love Pastor Donnie and his wife Lauren. Love them, love them, love them. So glad they came to Ohio from the crazy state of Kansas. Like, what's in Kansas? Like, tornadoes and Toto. You know what I'm saying? But they are here in Ohio. They are soon becoming Buckeyes. We love that. But it is great to be with you guys this evening. You guys have been walking through a little series. I think this is, what, week three of a series you guys have been in, something like that-ish. What's the series you guys are going through? You guys are pretty good. I'll tell you what, this is not your first day in church, is it? You guys have been here before. My shirt gives it away. Everybody else's shirt gives it away. We're talking a little bit about the new normal. I want to ask somebody in here. We're gonna take some tests this morning. Okay, I know you guys love school, and so we're gonna take a test here this evening. I said this morning. I meant this evening. We're gonna take a test this evening. And I'm gonna ask you in your own words. Okay, so which means you can't get this wrong. All right. So when I say in your own words, that means you. There's no wrong answers. Well, I guess there is a wrong answer. I think you'll do well. But in your own words, what does the phrase "I am the new normal" mean to you? Come on, anybody. What do we got? What does the phrase "I am the new normal" mean to you? Yes. That is awesome. Yes, 2 Corinthians tells us that, like, when the old is gone and behold the new comes. Yeah, when we are a new creation in Christ. That is awesome. We are remade, reborn. We are that. You did a phenomenal job. You are so welcome. You did a great job on that one. Yes, so what does it mean to you? Yes.
So
yes. So you went back to English class. No, I'm kidding. No. So go ahead. I'm sorry. I didn't mean yes. That is awesome. That is great. You guys are hanging on that. I am a new creation in Christ. I love that. That is phenomenal. Anybody else have an answer for us tonight? Those are great. Those are great answers. You guys did a great job. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Any others? No? Okay. This is when I think about the new normal, there's a couple things that I think about, a lot of ways to define that, and I think each one of us can grab that a little bit and make it ourselves. I talk about raising the bar of expectations, of being better than what's expected. I talk about that a lot. We talk about the new normal. You know, I talk about when I was in high school, I got straight C's in school, you know what I mean? And here's the reason I got straight C's in school. It's because I was a basketball player, and my parents told me that I wasn't allowed to get anything lower than a C in my report card, so I could, you know, or else I couldn't play basketball anymore. And so because I was so smart, I got straight C's, and I talk about that because it wasn't because I didn't have the capacity to do better. It was because I wasn't expected to do better. You know, and so the new normal, in a lot of ways, yes, we are a new creation in Christ, and because we are a new creation, we live at a higher standard, we do things a little bit better, so we talk about that, and I'll even define new normal tonight a little bit differently for you, and say the new normal can also look like a transformed faith, colliding with spirit-led action. You know, in our own world, sometimes we talk about transformed faith, spirit-led action. We're going to talk about that a little bit tonight. We're going to talk about that transformed faith piece, because I think that's important for us tonight. But before we do that, I want to introduce you to my family who are not here. Are you sad? You should be. My family's awesome. But my wife of Mandy, we've been married 18 years. She's home with my three incredible boys. I have an 8-year-old Micah. I have a 7-year-old Levi. and a 4-year-old Noah. Now, can anybody in here tell me where did I get those names from? Yes. From the Bible. You guys are so good. I'll tell you what, that was incredible. But I want to challenge you a little bit tonight, new normal. We're going to continue this new normal conversation if we can. I want to challenge you with this phrase. I want you to think about this phrase just for a moment. I'm going to say it, and then I'm going to pause, okay? So just to warn you, there's going to be a little bit of silence after I say this phrase, okay? So I'm going to say this phrase, pause. I want you to think about it for a moment. And the phrase is this. There is a difference between being a Christian and doing Christian things. There's a difference between being a Christian and doing Christian things. Now, I've kind of started this ask questions thing, so I'm going to keep going with that. Can anyone in here help me define what does that mean? There's a difference between being a Christian and doing Christian things. Yes, my man, talk to me. What does that mean? Say it one more time for me. So you're saying that You cannot be a Christian and do bad things, but you cannot be a Christian and do good things, right? Is that what you're saying? Did I mix that up? I think I got that right. So basically, you can be a Christian and do good things, but doing good things doesn't make you a Christian, right? Because you can also not be a Christian and do good things. What's that? Very good, very good. What's another? Here, we got all kinds of hands on this one. You guys are ready. Man, I love this. You guys are so smart. Talk to me. Yes. Oh, wow. So you could say you're a Christian, but if your actions don't line up with your words, then maybe you're not a Christian. So that's good. Okay, what's another one? Okay, is there anyone, I'm going to try and help, anybody who hasn't spoke yet tonight? Some of you guys just love to answer questions, don't you? It's awesome. I love it. You guys are all, because you're so smart, you know, that's why. Anybody else who, yes, go ahead, yes. Okay. So being a Christian is believing. Okay, let's sit on that one for a second. Being a Christian is believing in Jesus. And then when you do things, you do them because you believe in Jesus. And so it's kind of like this working out of your faith. So you don't... Yes, testing your faith. That's what it is. Well done. Well, hey, let me just pray for you real quick. Can I do that? I want to pray for you in this moment. Father, I just thank you for these students. And as we sit here tonight and we think about this comment of you can be a Christian and it's different than doing Christian things, Lord, I pray that you will challenge each one of us to not just do the right thing, but Lord, I ask that you will help us to know you more. Help us to live in your presence, to experience you more. God, I pray right now, Lord, that you will transform our hearts, that our faith will be transformed. And that's what's most important today. We love you and we need you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, so let's walk through this a little bit more. So we talked a little bit about being a Christian and doing Christian things can be a little bit different. Let me walk you through what this may mean a little bit. And what I would phrase this as, what I'd look at it, is the initial intent of our hearts. Now, that phrase is kind of interesting, the initial intent of our heart. Let me tell you a quick story. So I travel a little bit in my job. I have an opportunity to go place to place. And there's a time I was in Springfield, Missouri. Anybody know where Springfield, Missouri is at? Yeah, it's not that exciting. It's not Orlando, Florida. It's not Sandusky, Ohio. It's Springfield, Missouri. You know what I mean? And so, yeah, I felt the same way about going there. Okay, so I'm in Springfield, Missouri. And while there's a bunch of my friends, and we would get together and play basketball. Okay, Darren would be one of them. Darren likes to play basketball. And so I'm playing basketball with some friends. And because I was traveling, I forgot to pack my basketball shoes because I was so far away, I couldn't just run home and get them. You know, I'm in Springfield, so I couldn't go home and get them, and I wasn't going to go buy a new pair because that's ridiculous, right? And so I decided I'm going to go play basketball in the shoes that I had. And so I had some shoes. They were not athletic shoes, okay? They were not athletic shoes, okay? They were kind of like these ones, maybe not as bad as this, but they just were not good shoes. And so I'm playing some basketball, and, you know, I'm 6'4", 250, so I'm pretty awesome, you know what I mean? And so... So not true. But anyways, so I'm playing. I'm thinking, I can own these guys. You know, I play basketball. This is good. I can do this. And so I'm playing. And sure enough, I come down with this rebound. And I land. And I must have landed flat-footed. And so I landed on my heels. And as soon as I did that, I felt this pain kind of shoot up my back. You guys are too young to have back problems. I've never had back problems either. But I want you to know, as soon as that happened, this kind of thing happened. I'm like, oh. Yeah, I don't think I can play anymore. You know, I'm walking like this because I could barely move my back. It hurt. Oh, my goodness, it hurt so bad. And so I thought, guys, I can't play anymore. And so I walk over to the bleachers, you know what I mean? Like, oh, like an old man, you know what I mean? Like a pregnant lady or something. That's how I was walking. And so I get to the bleachers, I sit down, and then I drive back to the hotel. And that night I'm laying there, and I'm trying to go to sleep, but my back hurts so bad I was in pain. And I'm literally, I've never had back problems before, but I'm thinking, oh my goodness, what have I done? Like, because I forgot my basketball shoes, I now have ruined my back. And because I ruined my back, what does that mean for me? Like, I have to fly home in an airplane. That's going to be uncomfortable. You know, like, am I going to be able to play golf again? Like, that's what I'm thinking. I'm automatically thinking, oh my goodness, will I ever play basketball again? What have I done? And I was so nervous about this. And wouldn't you know, it's the middle of the night, and I'm sitting there laying, and my wife calls me. Now, my oldest son, Micah, he has growing pains really, really, really bad. So when there are times at night when he wakes up and his legs just ache. Any students that remember having growing pains growing up when you're young? Right? Like, it breaks my heart. My Micah will wake up in the middle of the night. His legs are just hurting him, and he's just in pain. He'll cry many nights, and it's tough for him. And so I'm laying there. My back hurts. My wife calls me in the middle of the night. She says, Tom, goodness, Micah woke up, his legs are hurting, and she's like, you know, he's crying, and he just wants his dad. Right? That's what I'm thinking, too. Like, for real, he just wants his dad. I'm thinking, yeah, that's right, that's cool. And so, but basically, this is what she says. She says, he wants dad to pray for him because his legs hurt, and he needs Jesus to help him sleep through the night, right? And I'm thinking, oh, bless his heart. That is the sweetest little kid in the world, and he is the sweetest kid in the world. And so sure enough, I'm like, no doubt, I pick up the phone, I pray for my little boy, I talk to him for a minute, hang up the phone, I'm trying to go back to sleep, and all of a sudden the Lord hit me. The Lord spoke to me in that moment. And he spoke to me about the initial reaction of my heart. The initial reaction of my heart. Now, the initial reaction of my heart when I hurt my back was, I need to go see a doctor. Right? Like, the initial reaction of my heart was, am I going to be able to play golf again? Like, have I ruined my golf game because I didn't pack the right shoes? The initial reaction of my heart was, I'm walking through life and I'm thinking, I've got to fly home in an airplane and that's going to be horrible. My son wakes up in an incredible amount of pain, and the initial reaction of his heart is, I need Jesus. I mean, the Lord spoke to me in that moment. As I want to challenge you this morning, that it's different to be a Christian than it is to do Christian things. I'm not saying I'm not a Christian. I'm just saying that there was a moment here where the Lord chose to speak to me and help me realize that being a Christian is not just about what you do. Being a Christian is not just about your habits. Like, for instance, Wednesday night, where do you guys go on Wednesday night? Church. Right, church. You're here. Like, that's the easiest question. That may be the easiest question I ask all night. Like, where do you go on Wednesday night? It happens to be Wednesday night. You go to church, right? What do you do on Sunday morning? Where do you go on Sunday morning? You go to church, right? Ish, you know, but sometimes we look at being a Christian as a redefining of our habits. Like, when we become a Christian, and so that means we don't do certain things, or we do certain things. You see what I did there? for all you younger kids, you didn't pick it up on it, and that's why I did it that way. So to roll back, I'll do it a little faster. Being a Christian doesn't mean that there are things that we don't do, and it doesn't mean that there are things that we do do. You guys are awesome. But being a Christian is greater defined or greater tested in the initial reaction of our hearts. So when I say to you the new normal is about a transformed faith colliding with spirit-led action, so often in the church world when we talk about doing something significant for God, we think about the action piece, right? We think about doing something. We think about, oh, I'm going to go serve my community, or I'm going to go do this, or I'm going to volunteer for something, or I'm going to give something. And let me just tell you, those are incredible things. But those don't make you necessarily a better Christian. See, sometimes when we think about, you know, doing something for God or doing something significant or doing something great, it's always about the action. Don't you ever realize that? It's about the action. I want to do something great for God. So what do we? We need to give something. We need to serve something. We're always about doing and doing and doing and doing and doing and doing more and doing more and helping here and volunteering there and going there and talking to this person. And that's kind of how we define our life. To be a better Christian means that you do more. And I just want to challenge you this evening, students, that being a better Christian does not necessarily mean that you do more. Now, it could mean that, but it's really about the initial reaction of our hearts. It's not about what we do, but it's about who we are. So I want to read some scripture here to you this morning because I want to help you understand how can we do this? How do we get to this place where it's not just about what we do, but it's about who we are, this transformed faith. How do we become a better Christian? I think that's our goal, right? Here, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. Close your eyes. Obey, obey, obey. Okay, I have little kids. So O-B-E-Y, obey your mom and dad. Okay, I'm not your mom or dad, but you're going to obey me because I'm got the mic, okay? So I see eyes open. Everybody, close your eyes. Close your eyes. I need everybody's eyes to be closed for this to be effective, okay? So everybody, close your eyes. 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 This is not difficult. Why are you looking at me? Close your eyes. Now, this is the question I want to ask you once everybody's eyes are closed. Some of you guys are cheating, and it's not you're gonna be disappointed. It's not that exciting. But your eyes are closed. Some of you guys are peeking through your fingers. It's okay. But how many in you in here would say, eyes closed, how many in here would say that my goal, the reason I come to church is because I want to know God more? I want you to raise your hand. Keep your eyes closed. How many of you guys would say the reason I come to church is because I want to know God more? Okay, you can put your hands down. You can open your eyes. I want to help you understand how we can know God more. Because there's no doubt, I believe certain things. I believe God loves you more than you could ever know. I believe that with all my heart, that God loves you more than I could ever communicate, more than I could ever tell you. God loves you more than I could ever tell you or explain to you or define, communicate in any way. God loves you more than I can tell you. I also know that God has gifted you. Romans 12:6 says he's given each one of us the ability to do certain things well. God's gifted you, and he's got a plan for you. I know this. I know this. I know this. I know for a fact that God loves you and has a plan for your life. Okay, so I want with all of my heart for you to become everything that Jesus died on the cross for you to become. Okay, because I believe that God loves you, and I believe that God has a plan for your life. So I want you to experience all that God has for you, right? I want you to experience the plans and the joy and the purpose that God has given you. I want you to identify significance in your life. I want you to identify value in your life. I want you to identify purpose in your life. And I believe that comes through your relationship with Jesus. So I want to help you tonight. You follow me? I want to help you tonight to figure out how you can experience that. Come on, this is going to be good. Right, listen, this is how you do it. You ready? You ready for this? If you have your Bibles, I want you to open them up to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Very simply here in the Sermon on the Mount, a small portion of Scripture. I'm just going to pluck out this one portion of Scripture here. It's going to stand alone here for a moment, but not Romans. Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Are you ready for this? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. I want you to focus on the first portion of this scripture. How do we experience all that God has for us? How do we become a better Christian? How do we know God more? How do we experience more of God's presence? How does this happen? Very simply, this is how it happens. In the first portion of this, it says, seek first God's kingdom. Seek God first. Let me give you another example of some scripture here, if we can, just for fun. How many of you guys know Jeremiah 29:11? How many of you guys know that verse? Who in here has it memorized? Jeremiah 29:11. Who can tell me? Jeremiah 29:11. Yes, right there. What is it? That is it. Plans to give you hope and a future. For I know the plans I have for you. Has anybody ever read past Jeremiah 29:11? Like, we always quote Jeremiah 29:11, but we kind of sit there. So I know the plans I have for you. Yes, yes, for hope. Yes, I want hope. Yes, I want a good future. Yes, and we kind of park there. We stop. We quote that. We hang it on our wall. How many of you guys have, mom has a picture on your wall somewhere that has Jeremiah 29:11 in your house? Like in vinyl letters in the living room. You know what I'm saying? Like, that happens all the time in our homes, in our church homes. Probably somewhere in this church, if we went on a scavenger hunt this evening, I bet we could find Jeremiah 29:11 on a poster somewhere in this church or in somebody's office. I promise you we can. But I want to read a little bit further. Let's look at this for a second. For I know the plans I have for you. Did such a great job quoting that. Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Listen to verse 13. This is good. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. When you seek me with all your heart. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to be a Christian? A Christian, very simply, is someone who will seek God with all of their heart. I could read so many good scriptures here tonight. Seek God first. I love one in Psalms. There's one in Psalms when David says, nothing on earth I desire besides you, Lord. David says, there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. Now, we don't have time tonight. We could go through a story, plenty of stories. There's one in Haggai. I bet that's a book of in the Bible that you have never read before. So if I tell you, where is the book of Haggai or Haggai or however you want to say it, does anybody know where that's at? Old Testament or New Testament? Old. Good guess. Good guess. Good guess. First half, back half of the Old Testament. Good guess. Good job. Good job. You guys are doing well. No, you guys have read that before. But there's a great story in there. There's a great story in there that talks about the people who, they work really, really hard. In fact, you know what? We have a couple minutes. We're going to do this very, very quickly, okay? So go ahead and open your Bibles to the book of Haggai. Right? Haggai. It's Haggai. I'm just going to read this story to you, okay? We're going to do this very, very quickly, okay? Listen, it's starting in chapter number one, verse number one. So you don't even have to go far. Just find it in your Bible. Here we go. In the second year of King Darius, on the first day of the sixth month, the word of the Lord came to the prophet Haggai, to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Oh my goodness, don't you love the Old Testament? That's awesome. Like, I should name my son Jehozadak. That's awesome. Or Zerubbabel. That's even better. Hey, Zerubbabel, come here. Like, you can't even yell at a kid named Zerubbabel, can you? Like, Zerubbabel, you're awesome. You know what I mean? Like, you can't even, I should have done that. He'd have been so much better off. But anyways, verse number 2, this is what the Lord Almighty says. These people say the time has not yet come for the Lord's house to be built. Man, that's crazy, right? Then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in your paneled houses while this house remains a ruin? Now, this is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. You have planted much. Listen to this portion. Listen to this. You have planted much. This is talking about working and doing and doing. And as Christians, we're so good at doing and doing and doing, right? It says, you have planted much, but have harvested little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have your fill. You put on clothes, but are never warm. You earn wages, only to put them in a purse with holes in it. This is what the Lord Almighty says. Give careful thought to your ways. And the context here, just so you know, is that they haven't rebuilt the temple. So in the beginning where it says, you have said it's not time for the Lord's house to be built yet, they haven't rebuilt the temple. The temple was destroyed. They haven't rebuilt the temple. And so God's saying, hey, why have you not yet rebuilt the temple? And they say, oh, the time's not here yet. It's not time. We don't have the resources for it. And then he says, go up to the mountains and bring down timber and build the house so that I may take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. You expected much, but see, it turned out to be little. What you brought home, I blew away. Why, declares the Lord Almighty? Because of my house, which remains a ruin, while each of you are busy in your own house. Therefore, because of you, the heavens have withheld their dew, and the earth its crops, I called for a drought on the fields, and the mountains and the grain, and the new wine, the oil, and whatever the ground produces on men and cattle, and on the labor of your hands. So basically what happened here, because their priorities were off. See, this is a priority conversation. Sometimes in the church, students, we have a priority conversation. We have a priority issue also. Like, we have a hard time putting God first. We do pretty good at doing Christian things, right? But to be a Christian means to put God first. And so sometimes it's easy for us to do good things, to do Christian things, but it's not as easy for us to put God first. How do we experience all that God has for us? We put God first, right? So let's keep reading. Then in verse 12, it says, then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the whole remnant of the people obeyed. They only say it once. I said it 3 times. The voice of the Lord, their God, and the message of the prophet Haggai, because the Lord, their God, had sent him, and the people feared the Lord. And then here we go. This is what I believe. I believe that when we have our priorities in order, when we truly place God first, truly, when we place God first in our life, that's when we become the new normal. When we put God first over anything else, like David says, there's nothing on this earth I desire more than you. When the New Testament tells us, when Jesus says the greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, right? With all. That's not a little bit. That's not on Wednesdays. That's not on Sundays. That's not when we're doing things. It's not when we're at Reach Conference. It's not when we're serving our community. But all the time, when we love God with all that we are, with every fiber of who we are, with every thought, with every action, we love God first. That's what this is talking about. Verse 1:13, I got to read this fast, so I apologize. Haggai 1:13-15, then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message to the Lord's people. I am with you, declares the Lord. I am with you, declares the Lord. So the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and the priest of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, high priest, and the whole remnant of the people. Why do they keep saying that over and over? Goodness gracious. They came and began the work on the house of the Lord Almighty, their God, on the 24th day of the 6th month in the 2nd year of King Darius. So basically what happens is God said, hey, listen, you've been working, doing your own thing. You haven't focused on me yet. So what happened is when the Lord spoke that to them, they responded, they obeyed, and so then they began to build the temple. That's what they just talked about. We're going to skip forward in Haggai chapter 2, verse 15 through 19. Listen to this. This is so good. Haggai chapter 2, 15 through 19. I'm going to read this very, very fast. Now give careful thought to this from this. I'm sorry. Give careful thought to this from this day on. Consider how things were before one stone was laid on another in the Lord's temple. Remember what he was talking earlier about? You did all this stuff and... Remember, consider that. Remember what it was like before you laid the stone. It says, when anyone came to heap 20 measures,
there were only 10. When anyone went to the wine vat to draw 50 measures, there were only 20. I struck all the work of your hands with blight, mildew, and hail, and yet you did not turn to me, declares the Lord. From this day on, from this 24th day on the ninth month, give careful thought to the day when the foundation of the Lord's temple was laid. Give careful thought. Verse 19 says, is there yet any seed left in the barn? Until now, the vine and the fig tree, the pomegranate and the olive tree have not borne fruit. Listen to this, the end of verse 19. But from this day on, I will bless you. From this day on, I will bless you. Let me unpack that in about 1 minute. You know I love you, right? You know that I want you to experience all that God has for you. I want you to be all that Jesus died on the cross for you to become. But so often in church, we get caught up in the doing of good things, right? We get caught up in doing, like, because I sing on the worship team, or because I help set up chairs, or because I do this, that makes me a Christian. I want you to know that that's backwards. That's backwards. You're not a Christian because you do those things. You're a Christian because you love Jesus with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. You're a Christian because there came a moment when you made this decision to follow Jesus, and in that moment of transformation, you made this statement where you said, God, Jesus, there's nothing on this earth that I desire more than you. And you made this realization that when you seek God with all your heart, you will find him, as it says in Jeremiah 13. See, there's this moment in our life when we realize that it's not about what we do, but it is about who we are. It's about the initial reaction of our heart, that when trouble comes our way, do we try and figure out a way to solve it, or do we just seek the Lord? Because the Bible says earlier in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, seek first the kingdom of heaven and all else will be given to you. It's one of those things where when we seek God first, and when we seek God first, when we chase after God with all of our heart, when we give him our all, when we chase him, that's when the transformed faith collides with spirit-led action. That's when the new normal begins to take place in your life. It's not about what you do, but it's about who you are. And when you are transformed by God's presence, when God transforms your heart, when you experience him, you know what I mean? When you experience God, like when you're in church and you finally surrender, and you say, God, you know what? Here I am. Oh, here I am. I need you. When you finally surrender in that moment, there's this transformation where God comes into your life and you commit your heart to live for him. There's this transformation that takes place. And as you seek God more, then what happens? God will speak to you. And when he speaks to you, that's when the action comes. That's not, you don't sing on the worship team because you're a Christian, but because you're a Christian, you sing on the worship team. Does that make sense to you? It's about priorities. Which comes first? Which is most important to you? You know how you can figure that out? Is if there was something you do. I've been picking on the worship team. I apologize. I'm going to keep doing that. I love you. But let's just say this. Let's just say that you could no longer lead worship. Yeah, let's just say you could no longer sing or no longer play the drums. We didn't have a drummer, so I can pick on the drummer. I'll pick on the drummer that's not here. Let's just say one day you wake up and you can't play the drums anymore. Does that make you love Jesus less? No. At least I hope not. You see, because it's not about what we do, but it's about who we are. I want to challenge you real quick. I want you to stand up. I know you guys were in groups earlier. We got to close here in just a minute. I want you to stand up. I want you to get in your little group. Get in your little group tonight. Get in your little group tonight. And we're going to pray. We started with prayer in little groups. We're going to close in prayer in little groups. And this is how it's going to go. My message to you tonight is about the new normal. If you want to be the new normal, the most important thing you can do tonight, if you want to experience all that God has for you, if you want to be all that Jesus died on the cross for you to be, the most important thing you can begin doing is seek God with all your heart. Seek God with all your heart. So I'm going to give you a task tonight. So you're going to get in your circle. You guys are ready? You ready? Are you in circles? Get in circles. Don't hold hands yet, but get ready. You have to hold hands. That's how we roll, okay? You have to hold hands. So guys, listen, if you haven't learned what that means yet, I'll teach you later. Okay, so listen, here we go. You have to hold hands. We're going to hold hands here in a moment. Don't hold hands yet because it gets sweaty. That's gross. Like, It's gross. So don't you hate it when somebody says hold hands and then they keep talking? Like, that's weird. Like, why would you do that? It's like when somebody says raise your hand up and then they keep talking. You're like, my arm's getting tired. You know what I mean? Like, don't do that. So don't hold hands yet. But here's what you're going to do tonight. Before you pray for one another, I seriously want you to look, and I want you to ask your friends to help you with whatever area of your life you need help with. Because my goal here tonight is for you to put God first in your life. So you may just say to your friends, you know what, I just need help putting God first. That's okay. Or you may say, you know what, here's something that I've been struggling with that is getting in my way of my relationship with Jesus. And that's okay to say that too. But tonight, the most important thing for you to do in being a Christian is to seek Jesus first. Okay? You gotta understand? Any questions on that assignment? You're going to ask your friends, right? Or you're going to tell your friends or ask your friends to pray for you about anything that's getting in your way for your relationship with Jesus, or that you just help that they will, I'm sorry, that you will be able to seek God more in your life. Okay, you good? I messed that up. I'm so sorry. Did I confuse you? Do I need to say it again? You're good, right? You're good. Ready? You pray for about 2 minutes, and then I'm going to close in prayer. Ready? Hold hands. Hold hands now. Hold hands now. Hold hands now. 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 Wipe them off. Wipe them off. Hold hands. Now pray.
Thanks again for listening to this message from Reality Student Ministries. Our hope is that you've learned a little bit more of who God is and who He has called you to be. For information on how you can get connected to our student ministry, be sure to check us out online at reality.painesvilleag.com or like our Facebook page at RSM. Now get out there and have an incredible day.